All right, if you got your Bibles with you, let's go ahead and turn to the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And when you get there, say, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We're going to be in the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah. We'll get to our text here in a minute. If I was to ask you, which I'm not asking you, but if I was, what do you think of when you think of the word peace? My guess is our answers would vary dramatically. Some people would say, well, peace is sitting in silence away from all the hustle and the bustle of the daily life. Others might say, well, sitting on the beach, toes in the sand, watching the sunset. Others might say, well, I'm an outdoors person, so I find peace when I'm just out enjoying nature. Some might say, well, peace to me would be the end of all violence and war. My wife, she would say, peace is when I'm holding one of my sleeping grandbabies in the recliner and I slump over and go into La La Land myself. And I have pictures to prove that. All of us have ideals of what peace is like. But the fact of the matter is, peaceful times are always short-lived. As I think of the Christmas season that's upon us, it seems to be the most peaceful time of the year for us. It's a time of, you know, decorating. It's a time of Christmas parties and family gatherings and gift-giving, gift-receiving, and of course, the lots of overeating. But again, that's short-lived because you eventually have to go back to work. You see how much weight you gained. You take down all the decorations and the credit card bills start to come in. When you get down to it, maintaining peace around the clock is about as easy as nailing Jell-O to the wall. Thanks, Irma. My guess is Irma's going home today and trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. You let us know too, Cecil, if she does. Well, there's a story and a promise in the Bible that there is a time coming in the future when the world will experience peace around the clock and a time of peace that will never end. In the 8th chapter of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah had warned the Israelites that they were about to be invaded by the Assyrians and that they would suffer tremendously as a result. He ends chapter 8 and he says this, "Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness." But then he begins chapter 9 by giving them some hope. And he starts in verse 1, he says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress." Then he continues on, he says, "In the past, he," speaking of God, "humbled the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he," God, "will honor the Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow and death, a light has dawned." Verse 3, "You have enlarged a nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor." In verse 5 it says, "Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire." Isaiah wanted them to know that what they were going to be going through, this period of chaos and this period of disorder, They would be going through some tragic times, but there was a day coming. He wanted them to know this. There was a day coming when all of the gloom and doom would come to an end, and they would begin to experience a peace that would never end. And then in verse 6, Isaiah tells them how that peace will come. He says, "For," meaning because, "to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Then we go to verse 7. Isaiah tells them how long that peace is going to last. He says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." Folks, that's interesting on a couple levels. First of all, the child that was born, the son that was given, was none other than Jesus in the manger. We know that. And we're told that the child in the manger is the Prince of Peace, and that the peace he would bring would never end. But if you think about it, there's not a shred of evidence that when the birth of Christ took place 2,000 years ago, that it brought about a never-ending peace. As a matter of fact, if anything, the world continues to become more and more chaotic and more disorderly. Wars continue. Violence is everywhere. Nations can't get along. Families are dysfunctional. And the list just goes on and on and on. I mean, if Jesus is the Prince of Peace, where's all the peace? Well, the key to understanding this is to understand that the peace of the Prince of Peace comes in phases. See, phase one was the peace that Jesus brought at his first coming when he was born in Bethlehem. Phase two will be the peace that Jesus will produce in the future when he comes the second time. Phase two of God's peace process will produce worldwide peace that will never end. And that is the phase of God's peace process that we all want now. Everyone longs for worldwide peace. People, nations, governments, organizations, religions, they have tried for thousands of years to produce peace to no avail. The goal of the United States is to produce peace and security around the world, and if they have accomplished anything, it's to make things worse. The Middle East peace talks, they've been going on since 1967, and they're no closer to peace today than they was 50 years ago. Governments and nations have signed numerous peace treaties down through the years. Most of them have been violated in one way or another. Governments have passed all kinds of laws that were designed to produce peace, but you cannot produce peace through legislation. Back in the 60s and the 70s, I wasn't around then, there was a culture movement here in the United States that thought they could produce peace through drugs and rock and roll and sexual immorality. And we still suffer the consequences of their intellectual ignorance today. For thousands of years, mankind has tried everything under the sun, S-U-N, to produce peace around the world. But we have constantly failed to do so because we continue to leave the sun, S-O-N, out of the equation. Worldwide peace is phase two of God's peace process. But the reason man cannot obtain it is because they want it by bypassing phase one of God's peace process. And so what is phase one of God's peace process? It is having peace with God through Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that as sinners, we're enemies of God. Colossians 1:21 says that as sinners, we are alienated from God. That word alienated means we're shut out of fellowship with God. We're shut out of intimacy with God. Why is that? Because as Romans 3:23 says, we have all sinned and we have all fallen short of God's glory. In other words, you know, here's God's standards, and we just simply fall short of meeting them because we sin. He's holy, He's righteous, we're unholy, we're unrighteous. And because of that, we are enemies of God. Therefore, we do not have peace with Him because a holy and righteous God cannot have peace with unholy and righteous people. And then in addition to that, because God is just and because God is righteous, He has to punish our sin. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. In other words, there is a price to pay because of our sin. But the other side of that is, God so loves the world that God desires to have fellowship with us. But again, there's our sin that gets in the way. Because He can't have peace and He can't have fellowship with a sinner that He still needs to punish. And so to solve the problem, God sends His Son, who is the Prince of Peace, into the world. He sends Him as a child to produce a way that we sinners could have peace and have fellowship with God. So you got Mary, who conceives a child in her womb as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit. And the angel Gabriel tells her, says, you need to name that child Jesus. Jesus means Savior. Savior means Deliverer. When Jesus gave His life up on the cross, He in essence died in our place by paying the price for our sins for us, therefore delivering us from the debt that we owe God. And because Jesus paid the wages of our sin for us, we can have peace and fellowship with the Lord. Romans 5:10 says, for if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? And so here's the question. The question is this: how does a person go about being reconciled to God? How does a person go about obtaining peace and fellowship with God? It's simple but hard. By asking God for forgiveness. By placing their faith in Jesus as having paid the price for their sins. And by turning from their sins and beginning to live their life for Jesus. And when a person sincerely does that, God forgives them of their sins. And at that time, they are reconciled to God. And they enter into a relationship with God that consists of peace and fellowship. When we have peace with God, we then begin to have peace in our hearts. And folks, it is having peace with God so that we can have peace in our hearts is what makes Christmas so merry. Peace with God, which produces peace in our hearts, is phase one of God's peace process. You cannot bypass that and obtain worldwide peace. It is virtually impossible. There is no way You can have a world full of people that does not have peace with God and expect them to have peace with each other. I mean, that makes me think of what Jesus said when he was being asked, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus says, well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then he said, this is the first and greatest commandment. But then he goes on, he says, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Folks, we can never begin to love our neighbor as ourself until we first begin to love the Lord God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Have you noticed that the more our world pushes God out of the way, the more chaotic and dysfunctional our world becomes? It doesn't matter how many peace talks you have. It doesn't matter how many peace treaties are signed. It does not matter how many laws we pass. It doesn't matter how fervent the United Nations works. You simply cannot have peace in the world and leave the Prince of Peace out of the world. The answer to all of the turmoil in the world was and is the baby in a manger whose name is Jesus, the Prince of Peace. The answer to all the turmoil in our hearts, in our lives, in our homes, in our marriages begins with the Prince of Peace. Phase two of God's peace process will unfold when Jesus comes the second time. Because when he comes the second time, he's coming to take over. When Jesus comes the second time, he will come to be the King of Kings. But not only will he be the King of Kings, he will also be the Prince of Peace. The first coming of the Prince of Peace was all about providing the way that we can go about having peace with God and peace in our hearts as we ask Him to sit up on the throne of our hearts. The second coming of the Prince of Peace will be all about Him providing peace around the world as He sits on the throne of the world. Today, He desires to spiritually rule over the hearts of people. In the future, He will physically rule the world of people. See, if you don't like to go through phase one of God's peace process by asking Jesus to be the Lord of your life, then you wouldn't enjoy phase two of God's peace process because Jesus is going to be Lord of the world. It's just so sad to watch people in life go through the struggles they go through. Because if they would just seek the Prince of Peace to be the Lord of their lives, they would be absolutely amazed at just how different things would begin to become for them. Yesterday I was in here working and God began laying a couple on my heart that I know is really struggling and their marriage and finances and just about every area of life. And so I texted them or sent them a link to a song/video by Third Day called Cry Out to Jesus. Within about 5 minutes, I got a text back from one of them and it just said, thanks for the video, needed that this morning. The other person never responded. As I think of them, tomorrow they will celebrate, unknowingly, the birth of the Prince of Peace, while failing to let the Prince of Peace give them the peace they long for. How sad is that? Having peace with God is the first step in having peace in all of the other areas of our lives. Because once the peace of God comes into our hearts, it will begin to spread out into the other areas of our lives. Most of you know that Vic and I's first several years of our marriage was really hell. We didn't come to have peace with each other till we first come to have peace with the Lord. Luke 1:79 tells us that Jesus guides our feet into the way of peace. One reason so many can't experience peace in our lives is because they are not letting the Lord direct their path. Not letting Him guide their feet. I want to close with this. With tomorrow being the time that we celebrate the birth of the Prince of Peace, can you say with absolute certainty that the Prince of Peace is the Lord of your life? If not, you can do that right here, right now, and have the merriest Christmas you've ever had. Folks, peace is not found in government policies. You won't find peace in laws, peace talks, peace treaties, drugs, alcohol. You won't even find peace in religion. Because peace is found in a person. And His name is Jesus. Can you say with absolute certainty that the Prince of Peace is the Lord of your life? And if you can't, today would be a day where you can lay your heart out before the Lord. Ask Him for the forgiveness you need, that you may enter into a relationship of peace and fellowship with God the Father. He will send His Spirit into your heart. You will become a new creation. And with the Holy Spirit comes the peace of God. Now, I want to say that having peace with the Lord does not mean your life will be trouble-free. If you're looking for that religion that's trouble-free, Christianity is not it. But what He does begin to do, you will begin to grow with a calmness in your heart as you face the turmoil and the troubles. You'll begin to understand things differently. You'll begin to understand people differently. You'll begin to understand yourself differently. What happens is God begins to shape and form our mind to think the way we was created to think. So we will begin to do the things we were created to do so that we can begin to live the life He created us to live. And when all those things begin to fall in place, peace just overcomes us. There's nothing better than living life in the way that we were created to live it. All these folks out here in the world that just keep living life however they want to, they might have peace on Tuesday, but they're not going to have it on Wednesday. God offers us a peace that you will not find anywhere else. And again, I ask you to lay yourself out before the Lord. Be honest about your sin. Tell the Lord you want Him to forgive you, to come into your heart, give you new life. And just let Him know, I need to experience the peace of my Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come before you right now. Christmas Eve, the season upon us is up on us to celebrate the birth of the Prince of Peace. The society, nations, countries, the world as a whole, we're trying to find peace without the Prince of Peace, and it just won't happen. But Lord, you're offering that peace to individuals right now. And I ask, Lord, that you would deal with anyone in here that is in need of you to come into their lives. You've done all you can do to reconcile us enemies with you. You've done it all. You've come, you've paid the price, you've opened the way, you've called us to place our faith in your Son. And Father, if there's anyone in here that needs to do that, I pray that you will burden their hearts with that. So that come tomorrow morning, they can have the merriest Christmas they've ever had, because they are now a child of the Prince of Peace. Lord, we love you, we thank you. In Christ's name, amen. And Merry Christmas, folks.